Good morning and welcome back in on The Point. We are at 8:35. It is time for our positive points on aging, and we welcome back in from our friends over at Oakley Village in Lexington, our good friend Karen Pickard.
Good morning.
Hi, Karen.
It was interesting driving in today. There was a lovely thunderstorm going on with lots of lightning bolts.
I'm sure.
It was pretty interesting for
the Did you hear us give you a heads up on the air?
I did. That was nice.
Yeah,
actually.
I was like, Karen, please be careful.
Be careful.
Oh, goodness.
Well,
last
it's interesting.
Thing I need, you know?
I had somebody who lives in Elgin driving to work, and they called me about 7:15 and said, it's awful out here.
Yeah. Oh, it's bad. Yeah. So I was just like, stay off the phone. Yeah. Just drive safely. And I'll continue that message to everyone.
Absolutely.
Please be smart about that while you're out there. Don't text and drive ever. But certainly, if you don't need your phone while it's bad weather, keep all your attention on the roads and just drive safely and keep a safe distance between you and the car in front of you and all that stuff.
All the good stuff.
Well, today we're going to get into a little bit about the legal side of what seniors need to know. We're not going to get too technical in the sense that we're going to overwhelm you with legalese. But at the same time, this is something that we started last week with Marcia.
Right.
And of course, you know, you weren't with us last week. You had those migraines going on.
Yes.
You doing better?
Oh, I'm much better, thank you.
Good, yeah, that can cripple you.
I haven't had one in a long time, and it was not fun.
No, so. Well, I'm glad you're doing better.
Thank you.
And we missed you last week, but I'm glad you're here this week. So when we talk about the legal things that people need to understand, and one of the things that we discussed with Marcia last week is we focused on the fact that it's an uncomfortable conversation, but it is a very necessary one, and it is so much easier to have a 1 hour of maybe some awkwardness now than to have to deal with what might be later when you don't have mom or dad to make his or her wishes known, and when you don't have a situation and you're in a crisis moment where you have to make immediate decisions. And that's the last thing you want.
Anybody wants.
Exactly.
And, you know, this is what we hear all the time, and anybody in the senior care industry will agree with me. Well, daddy just doesn't want me to have control over his finances. He's always done it himself.
Right.
Well, that's all fine and good. You're not going to have control over daddy's finances if you get a power of attorney. It's just there in case you need it. Now, there are a few things that we talk about things that I throw terms out that I think everybody understands, but not everybody really does. There's a difference between a power of attorney and a durable power of attorney. I don't know if you knew that, Kevin, or not.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't. Power of attorney is kind of a loose sort of agreement. It usually gives people specific things that they can do for you, maybe take care of your real estate. But if you are deemed incompetent in any way, the power of attorney is not good. That's when the durable power of attorney comes into play.
Right.
And I hear this a lot at work, too. Oh, well, my father just got a diagnosis of dementia, so now I have to go get his power of attorney signed and get medical power of attorney and all that sort of stuff. It's too late. Once they start getting diagnosis of dementia or any kind of incapacity, you're going to have trouble finding an attorney who's going to be willing to sign those paperwork.
Yeah. And again, I want people to understand the emotional side, Karen.
Yeah.
There's the legal side of this, which is very important, and we're going to focus on that a lot. But I want people to understand the emotional side, okay? Let's talk about two circumstances. One, something hits the fan.
Yep.
Mom is in a bad place right now, and she is at the hospital, and she can't speak for herself. And all of a sudden, word gets out. You and your sister and your brother all show up because you love your mom and you want to be there for her. And the doctor comes out into the waiting room and says, we have to make some decisions right now. Your mom can't make these for herself, so we have to make some decisions right now. And what do you want to do? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Do you want to do this? Well, your sister says, I know what mom would want. She would want us to do everything possible because she wants to be here because Junior's got his football championship coming up. And then your other sister says, listen, you know mom, she's a proud lady. She would not want us to da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
And then you're sitting there and you're the third child and you're saying, what is this, like a family vote? We're going to decide now while mom has had a decision. And the doctor's sitting there with her arms folded saying, listen, I need an answer and I need it now.
Now. I don't have an hour for you guys to argue
exactly.
about it. Exactly. And what's
even more—
And
that's not a fair thing to do to a family. And that's not what your mom wanted to put you in that position either.
Well, most people don't think about it. And a lot of times they're just afraid to approach their parents.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, dad's too proud. Dad doesn't want you to have control over his finances. It's not that you want to have control. It's that you want to be protected. And I'll be honest, Kevin, I have told many a person, if you've got a child over the age of 18, you might ought to have some kind of paperwork just in case they're in a car accident. Yeah. And can't speak for themselves.
We talked about this last week a little bit with the Karen Shivo example of a young lady who was just barely in her early 31, I think she was. And of course, that's exactly what happened. And she was left basically, obviously, comatose. And she was not in a position where she could make decisions. Mm-hmm. And she had parents that wanted one thing. She had a husband that wanted another thing. There was all kinds of this. It got to the point where governors were getting involved and senators and House members and laws were being passed. And who needs this?
Nobody.
You don't need this. You know, right after Lainey and I got married, we talked about this.
Yeah, you should have.
And we did have this talk. And fortunately, we were guided by somebody that we trusted. And he told us, this is something you need to do. It's morbid sounding. You guys are young. You're going to live long lives. You're going to have children one day, grandchildren one day. But you know what? Just in case. And no one had to sell me on anything because I lost my dad in a car accident.
Right.
So I know how fast life can change.
Right.
And I said to Lainey, I was like, I hate this, but he's absolutely right. Let's get this done so there's no questions about what you want, what I want. And then one day, if we have children, God willing, they will not be in a position. And so that's you're doing this as a blessing for your kids. And if you are the kids, you're also doing this as a blessing for your parents.
I just always say prepare for the worst and hope for the best. If you're prepared for the worst, then you don't have any surprises. And one of the things that I tell kids is if you really are afraid to have this conversation, if you're really that afraid of your parents, and a lot of children are afraid of their parents, just remind them that nobody really wants their decisions made by a judge or the state or a stranger.
Right.
So go ahead and prepare it. And again, there are a lot of legal protections to keep your children from stealing your funds. And there are a lot of ways to stop that from happening. And the fact is, you can revoke a power of attorney just by saying, I don't want you to be my power of attorney.
Right, right. And again, this is, we're talking about things that are put in place so that you don't have to make emotional decisions.
Right.
And we're also talking about things that are put in place so that you can honor legacies. Because if something does happen and you lose mom and you lose dad or whatever, it shouldn't come down to, I think he would have wanted you to have this or that. This gives him control or her control of telling you what he wants you to have right now. And again, I can understand why it's an uncomfortable conversation. I really can. But at the same time, all I would say to somebody at this point is, look, it could be uncomfortable for you right now, but aren't you going to be a little ticked off if you're looking down from heaven and all of a sudden, you know, little Jimmy over here decides to take your prized possession that you wanted for your grandson instead? And all of a sudden, little Jimmy's there, and he's saying, no, I'm sure he would have wanted me to have this.
I want that, yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, families break up because of things like that. And you try to pretend that doesn't happen, but it happens all the time. I've seen the closest families in the world just never speak to each other again because of a lamp or a piece of property or something stupid.
Yeah, and this is the last way to honor someone you love is by letting it destroy a family over possessions or financial gain, things like that. So there are, 6-7 different documents people need to be
aware of. There are about 5 or 6 documents. Yeah. There's a living will, which is a really good document to have, you know, so people know whether you want a feeding tube or that sort of thing. There's a durable, do not resuscitate. Let's talk about a do not resuscitate real quick. Because
it's involved.
It's involved, but the basics of a do not resuscitate, if you are choking, people will do the Heimlich maneuver on you.
Right.
That's the question I get all the time. Well, does that mean that you're not going to try to save mama's life if she's choking or if she's just not breathing well? No, it means you do not do extreme measures when somebody is not responsive.
Right. All right, so we've got our DNR, we've got our living will. We're going to talk about the DPOA versus the POA.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to some other things. I've got Karen with us from Oakleaf Village. Stay with us. Positive Points on Aging.
Mornings with Kev.
All right, welcome back in. It is 10 minutes now before 9 o'clock. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, it'll be the Home Advocates with Jeremy and Courtney. But right now, having a good time with our good friend Karen Pickard from over at Oakleaf Village in Lexington.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you being in here. Our positive points on aging.
I want to get back to a little bit about, let's regroup a little bit and start talking about elder law attorneys. I know Marcia had mentioned that last week, and she wanted me to talk a little bit more about the importance of having an elder law attorney.
Yes.
When you buy a house, you get a real estate attorney. When you start a business, you have an attorney that helps you do an LLC. So it makes sense to have a specific attorney who knows those documents we were just talking about.
They know
how to maneuver a living will or DNR. They also know should know your interest in what you want, whether you want Johnny to be the power of attorney and Susie to be the healthcare power of attorney, how you want those documents set up. We didn't talk about a healthcare power of attorney yet, but when you do a healthcare power of attorney, that person makes your healthcare decisions when you were not able to do so. So you need somebody who's strong, somebody who can make the tough decisions
And
they don't have time to think about it too much. They know what your wishes were. They're not going to get into an argument with the other siblings about it. They're just going to go, okay, this is what mom wants. I've got it written down. This is what we're doing, and I hate to do this, but this is it.
Right.
And the attorney needs to know that. They also can help you navigate the government systems. I mean, there's things like aid and attendance, Medicare, Medicaid. Sure. You know, people ask me about Medicaid and Medicare all the time, and I just kind of stutter through it because I don't know that much. And that's when I say you need an attorney.
Yeah.
You need somebody who specializes in these things. And also, the attorneys are there to help after and the power of attorney is no longer valid when somebody has passed away. They help you through probate.
Right.
There are lots of good elder law attorneys here in town, and you can find them online. And I would highly recommend if you're starting to look at creating a will and all your legal documents to take care of that.
Your phone is making
it's
too close to the microphone.
Sorry.
It's making a clicking sound near
I didn't
the mic.
Hear it.
It's called an RF frequency. And if you get too close to the mic with it, it starts. You pull it up real close to the mic.
Yep, I hear it.
You hear the clicking sound.
Yeah, I hear it now. Sorry.
That's okay. I was like, wait a second. I know you were reading off your phone for your notes and all that. And I was like, but how close is it? And that's why. So
it was that close. Okay.
It was too close.
That's interesting. Learn something new every day.
Exactly. That's why Karen looked at me when I was looking at her for a second. She's like, what are you doing?
What is wrong?
Yeah. And so I had to see how close the phone was to your microphone. All right. So when it comes to the elder attorney and all that, I know that you guys have some that you feel comfortable recommending. We have someone here at the point, guy named Jesse Neer over in Lexington that does a beautiful job, and he's helped me so much with my cousin Bob.
Right.
And it's so I sit here, Karen, and all the things you're talking about, I'm going through right now with cousin Bob. No, that's okay. But I feel good that I'm doing all these things.
Yes.
For him, so that there's none of these concerns, and you know whatever he does have left, I'm not the beneficiary for anyway. I know who his beneficiaries are, not even my family, but I'm taking care of someone I love, and so it's from the heart, and he's getting good care now, and I know that every decision that he wanted made has been made for him now. He knows, he's told me everything he wanted under the living will. He's told me everything he wanted. And then I took it to the elder attorney, Jesse, and Jesse put it all on paper. And now, heaven forbid, you know, when a time comes where this happens, where that happens, and it's gonna, he's 86 years old. He's not in good health as it is.
We all have that issue.
Exactly. When it happens, at least I know that I have done everything in my power
to
honor his wishes and everything in my power to make, when it comes time for me and I'm the executor of his will, that it's going to be no stress on me either.
Well, isn't it what it's all about? It's all about our care and our love and honoring the people who took care of us when we were kids and loved us.
I want him to not have to worry about anything at this point in his life. He's earned that. He's been a very wonderful, loving member of our family.
Right.
And I want him to have no stress about anything financial, about anything legal. All I want him to do is enjoy that menu every day and the fact that he's one of the only men on his wing.
Oh, that's good.
The others are all women. That's what I want him to enjoy.
So he's
in his
having
life.
Fun anyway.
He's a popular dude.
He is definitely a popular dude.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, though. And that's why you think you're doing the right thing by ignoring the conversation, but it really doesn't benefit anybody at all.
Yeah.
We talked a little about all the living will and the do not resuscitate. Durable power of attorneys are very important, much more important than a power of attorney, because you need somebody who can make decisions for you if you are deemed incapable of making those decisions.
Right, right.
God forbid it should happen to any of us, but in my industry, most people have some form of dementia.
Yeah.
And are not good at making decisions. And the state loves to say to me when I deal with adult protective services, well, I can't protect somebody from themselves.
Right.
So if you don't have these things in place, the state's hands are tied unless something very bad happens.
Right.
And then they have to step in and go to court, and they have a stranger taken over. So, again, we've talked about that a little bit, but I just see it so much. It really does scare me. But one of the things that I did want to say is, you know, there are ways that you can revoke a power of attorney. You are not locked into any of this if you find out that Johnny is stealing your money.
Right.
You can stop that real quick.
Right.
And that's something that people are afraid of, and they need to understand they're still in control.
Right. And again, this is why I use the example, Karen, you don't ask a plumber to do surgery on you.
Right.
You know, so why would you be expected, unless you're a legal mind, unless you're
right.
an attorney,
would
you expected to be able to do the work of a lawyer? So get someone who's an expert in that field to help you and make sure you get it done. And that way, every I gets dotted, every T gets crossed.
And the other thing they say is, and this is really true, and I'm the queen of doing this kind of stuff, but you shouldn't. Don't go online and get the legal documents.
No.
Because what you get online might be good in New Jersey, but it may not be good in South Carolina.
Right.
And that's something else to think about, too. If mom lives in New Jersey, you need to make sure that the documents you are putting together in South Carolina are going to be reciprocal in the state.
Another example with Cousin Bob. I mean,
yep.
He was just moved him down here in September from Ohio. Everything he had was Ohio-based. I got it all done here in South Carolina because ultimately this is where he's going to live out his
right.
years.
And that's what you need to remember. And you need to think ahead. Where do you think mom and dad are going to end up spending
right.
the rest of their life?
Right.
And that's where the documents need to come from.
Right. Right.
So,
yeah, it's...
And online is not the place to do that.
No, ask yourself, you know, say mom has, you know, a little legacy she wants to leave behind. Do you really want an online form to be the last?
No,
come on.
You really don't. And the other thing is, again, we talked about this a minute, but I've seen horrible family squabbles, and you want to make sure that the siblings don't get into an argument because the paperwork's not
yeah,
done correctly.
Exactly.
And you want to protect them because it's an emotional time for families when someone passes. And you need to make sure that all the things are taken care of in that process.
Right. I get worried about one thing you said, and that was about mm-hmm. the whole idea of when mom or dad or whomever it is starts having the dementia issues
right.
and all that. I get worried about how it changes the process if you don't have any paperwork done.
You might be talking a little over my head, but my understanding of this is that you really cannot have paperwork signed if somebody has a
right.
diagnosis of dementia.
Exactly.
So if you haven't done it ahead of time, you really are behind the eight ball. And then what you're looking at is having to go through the court system to be made guardian in litem
right.
for somebody.
Right.
And then possibly having them deemed incompetent through the court systems.
The moral of the story here is...
Be prepared.
Yeah, it really is. And again... Is it an uncomfortable situation? It doesn't have to be, but I understand that it is. And if it is an uncomfortable situation, you can even try to think about somebody that mom or dad likes
right.
and bring that person in as almost like a moderator.
Is it a priest? Is
exactly.
it a doctor?
Exactly.
Is it, you know, doctors don't normally like to have these conversations, but there are geriatricians who will be the first to jump in and say, you know, you need to put your paperwork in order, sir, because
right.
your children are here to help you take care of you, and we need to make sure that that's done right.
That's what is so important of understanding. And again, that's what I'm trying to stress is have the uncomfortable conversation. That's the moral of the story
yep.
because it's going to make for a lot of comfort later on
mm-hmm.
instead of a lot of really, really nasty, potential nasty later on.
Yeah, you think it's ugly right now, wait till you don't have the
yeah.
paperwork.
Or
advice.
Wait till it's a moment where you have to make a flash decision and that's just not fair to you or them and that's not what they want for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're right.
As always, my friend, thank you.
Thank you.
OakleafVillageLexington.com
oh,
or
803-808-3477.
Call Karen or Marcia if you need anything, if you have any questions, if you need a referral, if you need to talk about things.
Anything.
Yeah, go ahead and give them a call at Oakleaf Village in Lexington. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Stay safe.
You bet.
Mornings with Kev.
WQXL Columbia, W264DF.
From the BART Fireside Studio, the solution for keeping you warm this winter. This is 107 The Point.